Mittaha.
One another.
Yada.
When.
Esham.
Of them.
Bhavata.
Will take place.
Vivadaha. Quarrel. Madhu amada.
Intoxication by drinking.
Atamra vilochananam.
Of their eyes being copper red.
Not.
Esham.
Of them.
Vada upayaha.
Means of disappearance.
Iyan,
like this.
Ataha,
besides this.
Anyaha,
alternative.
Mai,
on my.
Udyate,
disappearance.
Antadadate,
will disappear.
Swayam,
themselves.
Sma,
certainly.
So translation,
when they quarrel among themselves, influenced by intoxication,
with their eyes red like copper because of drinking,
madhu,
then only will they disappear.
Otherwise, it will not be possible.
On my disappearance, this incident will take place.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
The Lord and His associates appear and disappear by the will of the Lord.
They are not subjected to the laws of material nature.
No one was able to kill the family of the Lord,
nor was there any possibility of their natural death by the laws of nature.
The only means, therefore, for their disappearance was the make show of a fight amongst themselves, as if brawling in intoxication due to drinking.
That so-called fighting would also take place by the will of the Lord.
Otherwise, there would be no cause for their fighting.
Just as Arjuna was made to be illusioned by family affection, and thus the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, so the Yadu dynasty was made to be intoxicated by the will of the Lord, and nothing more.
The devotees and associates of the Lord are completely surrendered souls.
Thus, they are transcendental instruments in the hands of the Lord,
and can be used in any way the Lord desires.
The pure devotees also enjoy such pastimes of the Lord because they want to see Him happy.
Devotees of the Lord never assert independent individuality.
On the contrary, they utilize their individuality in pursuit of the desires of the Lord.
And this cooperation of the devotees with the Lord makes a perfect scene of the Lord's pastimes.
So, the verse again.
Yato yadai sham bhavita vivado madhvamada tamra vilochananam naisham vadopaya ihannatonyo mayujyatentar darate svayam sma.
So, Om Ganatya Virandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Can we put this here? So, this is the story of the Lord's disappearance, which is called Moksha Lila. First, we're going to talk about intoxication. Actually, Prabhupada referred to intoxication as an illusion within an illusion. In other words, we're already thinking we're the body, which is a big illusion. Like Prabhupada one time said, who is crazy? So in other words, just like if you go into a mental institution, some people will be thinking they're Napoleon, and some people will be thinking they're Hitler, and some people will be thinking they're God. That's a mental institution. So you may say, that's a mental institution, but the whole material world is a mental institution because you're thinking what? What are you thinking?
That we are this body.
We're the body. It's just like if you're driving a car and you're thinking, I am a Ford or I am a Yugo. Nobody thinks like
no
that.
Boy.
Nobody. No Yugo, no go. So then that's crazy. I mean, you would put someone in a mental institution if they actually started to tell you that they were a Ford, right? So in the same way, we're saying we're the body. So we're crazy. And then you can go into a dream within a dream, just like we're dreaming at night. You know, sometimes I have so many dreams, like we're flying in the sky or something like that. So that's an illusion within an illusion, and that illusion lasts a shorter time than the illusion we have within this body, this particular body, which lasts at most 100 years. So this intoxication, like everything else, has its natural position in the spiritual world. Like you will not find anything in this world that is not also there in the spiritual world. So I was reading some of the Goswami's literatures that were describing how Krishna and the gopis, they get intoxicated sometimes. Of course, they do not drink vodka. You know, they do not go to Russia to get vodka or whatever else they have. You know, just like nowadays, of course, if anyone goes through an airport, the airports have become liquor stores. You see that? When you fly, even in the Delhi airport in India, you just have to walk through, like, frankly, 1 kilometer of liquor bottles to get to your gate. So, but in the spiritual world, they make intoxication out of natural substances, like Balaram from the sap from the tree, the Varuni beverage, and Krishna and the gopis, they make honey wine. And actually, well, one funny story is not so funny. In the beginning days of the movement, devotees were very attached to intoxication. So they would take the what we call a nectar drink from the Sunday feast, and which had fruit and yogurt and everything like that, and they let it ferment for 3 or 4 days. And then they would drink the nectar drink, thinking, oh, it's prasadam, it's all right. And the devotees, the brahmacharis, would get intoxicated. So in the spiritual world, Krishna and the gopis, they drink this honey wine. And they get so intoxicated that sometimes they take the glass that's meant to pour the wine into, and they have it upside down, and they pour the wine on the bottom portion instead of the glass portion, and the wine gets all over the place. Actually, one time, not intoxicated, a devotee did that with Prabhupada's water. Sometimes you have these wine glasses, you can't really tell which side is the glass and which side is the stand. So the devotee had it upside down and he poured water on the stand and went all over Prabhupada's desk. So Prabhupada said, this is simply foolish. So anyway, so in the spiritual world, they're getting intoxicated. And there's dancing between Krishna and the gopis. And sometimes there's gambling. Like if you go to Radhakund, you'll see this place, it's actually in Shamakund, where Radha and Krishna, they would gamble. And the person who lost had to kiss the other person. Because we don't do that. Especially sannyasis. So there's gambling, intoxication. Of course, there's no eating in the spiritual world. But there's different expressions of different rasas. The 5 direct rasas and the 7 indirect rasas. And one of the 7 indirect rasas is ghastliness. So like when Krishna comes down to this earth planet, like he comes down as Parashuram and he creates rivers of blood, or lakes of blood, actually. And so that's ghastliness. There's ghastliness, there's humor. The spiritual world has infinite variety in it. There's 7 indirect rasas and 5 direct rasas. So, and there's humor, ghastliness, there's anger, there's fear. All these things occur. Like the residents of Vrindavan were fearful when Krishna was diving into the Kaliya lake to to try to attack the Kaliya serpent. So the spiritual world has all these things, but they're all ecstatic in the spiritual world. So that's one thing about intoxication. But the main topic of this verse is the Lord's Moshe Lila, the Lord's disappearance and the disappearance of the Lord's associates in Dwarka. So this story of the Moshe Lila actually starts about 34 years before that we're reading about right now. And what happened, this was after the Battle of Kurukshetra. So during the Battle of Kurukshetra, you had different personalities, Pandavas, vow to kill certain living entities. And of course, Bhimsen, he vowed to kill all the Kurus. He vowed to kill all 100 of them. Actually, there were 101, but one was a lady, so they didn't kill her. That was Dushala. So Bhimsen, he vowed to kill, not only vowed to kill, but he also vowed to kill Dushasan by ripping open his chest, drinking the blood, and taking that blood, that's pretty ghastly, isn't it? Taking that blood and putting it in Draupadi's hair. And that way she would tie up her hair again, which she hadn't tied since her insult in the gambling match. Also another interesting point about Vedic marriages, you see in India the ladies put the red in their hair. What that indicates is the blood from their husband's enemies, when their husband won them in the Swayamvara ceremony. That was very romantic, isn't it? In the old days, the husband used to fight with other men to get his wife. Nowadays, the husband fights with the wife. It's a little bit different. But it's better to fight with other men than with the wife. So Bhimsen, he had vowed to break the thighs of Duryodhana, to drink the blood of Dushasana, and to kill all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. So one by one, he killed them all. Even when the other Pandavas had an opportunity kill any of the sons of Dhritarashtra, they didn't do it because that was Bhimsen's duty. That was his adhikar, his right. So, so all the Kurus were killed, and necessarily Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, the parents of the 100 sons, they were very angry. So one thing Dhritarashtra tried to do is he tried to kill Bhimsen. Many of you know that story. Dhritarashtra had the strength of 10,000 elephants. He was blind, but he was very strong. He could basically drag elephants behind him. So he thought that when Bhimsen came after the Battle of Kurukshetra, he would give Bhimsen a hug. And that hug would be so intense that Bhimsen would be crushed, which is true. So instead, Krishna arranged that Bhimsen would put forward a statue. It was a statue of Bhimsen in the castle. That's interesting. Why do they have a statue? Because that was the statue that Duryodhana used to practice on. Like when you really hate someone, you like to hit their statue, or like nowadays they have dartboards, you throw darts at their picture. You see that?
Darts.
Darts, So Duryodhana was hitting this statue. And so the statue was placed before Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra embraced the statue, and he crushed. What's that? He crushed the statue instead of Bhimsen, and therefore he was able to give up his anger. But Gandhari was not able to give up her anger, and Gandhari was so powerful that she was able, because of the dint of her austerity, she closed her eyes or had her eyes bandaged. For all the years she was married to Dhritarashtra, so she wouldn't be better than Dhritarashtra. She was so powerful she could destroy anything she wanted. So first of all, Yudhisthira Maharaj walked out to apologize to Gandhari. Then she looked under her blindfold, and she looked at Yudhisthira's toes, who were actually quite beautiful, and his toes began to curl up and became ugly. just by her looking at his toes. And then she said to Krishna, I curse you, Krishna. I am so angry because you could have stopped this whole thing. You're the cause of everything. You're God. Sometimes we get angry with Krishna like that too. We think, you're God. Why did you do what I want? Because we want God to be our servants, right? One time, I got angry at Indra in some way. I was trying to make a build a temple, and it was kept raining and raining and raining. It was money. And I couldn't even move the truck in or anything like that. We were building a temple for Krishna. I got so angry, I took a stone and threw it into the air. I said, I'm going to kill you, Indra. But I didn't kill Indra. It didn't get very far. So that's like us getting angry with God. You know, if you're God, you should do what I want. You should make me rich, you can make me handsome, get me a good husband or a wife. You know, why did you give me this guy? So anyway, so people lose faith in God because the typical story Prabhupada tells. Actually, the typical story Prabhupada told is during World War II, the Germans were praying to be successful, or the ladies were praying that their husbands would come back. And in the Allied side, you know, in the UK and America, they were praying that their husbands would come back. And Prabhupada said God was confused. He didn't know which one to listen to. And so many people in Germany became atheists because they lost the war. But God is not like that. He's not our servant. We have to do what he says. It's not that he has to do what. He's Swaraj. He's independent. He's not depending on us on our prayers. So anyway, so Gandhari was blaming Krishna, and she said to Krishna, I curse you, God. Imagine cursing God. That your whole family will be destroyed something like 34 years from now. The same way that my family was destroyed. They kill each other. So your family will also kill each other. And Krishna, he said, Hare Krishna. He didn't say Hare Krishna, but that wouldn't have been appropriate. He said, thank you. Well, I accept whatever curse you've given me. Because that was his plan. He wanted to get rid of his family members because his family members, for several different reasons, would have been a burden on the earth. One reason we talked about yesterday was that they would have felt separation when they left. But another reason, a big reason, is that when Krishna left the planet, if he left his family members, they would have been so damn proud. They would have just done so much nonsense being proud, because just like we see devotees sometimes, don't we get proud because we're devotees? We think, I know the philosophy. Those stupid karmis, I'm better. I'm a devotee. Or, I've been in the movement 30 years, and you've only been in the movement 29 years. I'm a senior devotee. I'm more advanced than you. I'm a sannyasi. And if you don't like it, I'm going to hit you with my danda. You puny little Rasta. So, anyway, so we... Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that this is one of the causes of anarthas. Actually, as one becomes a devotee, one gets spiritual realization and respect, and that causes anarthas. That means unwanted things, because you become proud. So we become very proud. We're devotees, huh? So Krishna's family members were devotees, but they were generally demigods. So they even had more to be proud of, or their expansions of demigods. So if they're so proud, they think they're better than everyone else. And it was Jiva Goswami who explains that this is like Sahaja. A Sahaja is someone who takes things cheaply, you know, thinks, oh, I know Radha and Krishna, I'm living it, Govardhan, I'm living it, Radha Kund, and all you devotees, you're just Vaidhi Bhaktis, Bhaktas. You know, and I am a Raghunuga Bhakta, or I'm a Prema Bhakta, I'm a Bhava Bhakta, I am a Parama Bhakta. So that's the Sahaja. You know, the Sahajas criticize it. Once upon a time, there was a group of Sahajas in Los Angeles, and they would read the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna together. And Prabhupada, and they thought they were better than all the other devotees. And Prabhupada got very angry. So once upon a time, one of the sannyasis complained about them to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada agreed with the sannyasis. But the Sahajas, after they were criticized by Prabhupada, said that Prabhupada actually was accepting us, but he just wanted to pacify those neophyte sannyasis who didn't understand the intimate affairs of Radha and Krishna. So in this way, it's like Sahaja. So the family members of Krishna would be very proud. And so in order to destroy them or get them off the planet, Krishna arranged this whole pastime called Emotion Leela. Including his own pastime of leaving this world. And that pastime is quite interesting. Once upon a time, the sages were all gathered, Narada Muni, Asita, Kirala, Vyas, and all these sages were gathered to do some ceremony, religious ceremony. And so the Yadu dynasty members, being very proud, especially the children, one particular child, his name was Samba, he was the son of Jambavati, wanted to tease the sages. They thought, these sages, they're just sages. We're Krishna's family members. We're Krishna's children. We're Krishna's grandchildren. You know, imagine if you were Krishna's grandchild.
Wow.
You'd be pretty proud, isn't it? Really proud. Mm-hmm. Just like there was this whole movie called The Da Vinci Code, where they were trying to ascertain who is Lord Jesus' descendant. And even in the Muslim religion, there's one branch of the Muslim religion that considers the descendant of some relative of Muhammad to be the leader of the Muslim. Right? That's the Shiites. So, anyway, so they were thinking, we're Krishna's family. And you're just a bunch of sages. You're just like chanting hard, Vaidhi Bhaktis. And we're on the topmost platform. So they decided to make fun of the sages. So Samba was dressed up as a little girl, and they put a pillow or something like that in his stomach so he looked like he was pregnant. And so they went to the sages and they said to the sages, my dear sages, this little girl is expecting a child. So please tell us, is it going to be a boy or a girl? And the sages understood that they would be made fun of. And they said, actually, this girl will give birth to an iron club that is going to destroy the whole Yadu dynasty. That was a curse. And so the kids got really scared. They went back to King Ugrasena. And they said to Ugrasena, what are we going to do? Because eventually, Samba gave birth to an iron club. They took away his cloth, and there was a big iron club there. So Ugrasena, thinking, basically in an atheistic way, that basically when we grind up this club, it's not going to cause us any trouble. So he took the club and he ground it up into little pieces like powder. And he threw the pieces in the ocean. There was one piece that they couldn't grind up. It was like about this big. And they also threw it in the ocean. And the piece that was this big was swallowed by a fish. The fish was later caught. And there was a hunter, his name was Giral, which will tell the story in a second. He made an arrowhead out of that. But the little pieces, the little dust from the club, that was washed ashore, and they became seeds for like these reeds that grew up that were like iron clubs. They were as strong as iron. Just like you sometimes have bamboo that grows very, very quickly. Anyone seen bamboo here?
Yeah.
Like when the sannyasis make their dandas out of bamboo, it grows very, very quickly. In India especially, it grows very quickly. In China, Japan, they have a lot of bamboo. So they grew very quickly. And when the Yadu dynasty got intoxicated, they took these canes that grew from this iron dust and they beat each other to death.
Oh.
They even attacked Balaram and Krishna with the kings. In fact, they were so intoxicated. Prabhupada said, there's two types of people who take intoxication. There's high-class people and low-class people. And when the high-class people person drinks, he just goes to sleep. That's how you know you're high-class or low-class. Try drinking liquor, see what happens. And when Prabhupada said that, he was joking, of course. And when a low-class person drinks, he starts fighting and talking a lot, like in the bars. Of course, when you drink liquor, you're actually calling ghosts there. Did you know that? That's why people become crazy, because the ghosts come. If you've ever been to a bar, you'll see that the ghosts are just all around. There's one city that I'm the GBC of. It's called New Orleans. And it's a city of drunkards.
Yeah.
It's a party city. People go, there's a place called the French Quarter there. And you can see all the ghosts hanging from the trees. Because when people take intoxication, the ghosts can take over their bodies and they become a different person. Because
is that true?
It's true. Prabhupada said that. And actually, even if you study yoga and you understand like Kundalini, that we have different chakras. So when you take intoxication, it opens up the chakras, particularly the heart chakra. And the subtle living entity, the ghost who is there, he can take over your body. There actually are ghosts. And actually, Prabhupada, sometimes he got rid of ghosts. When he was at John Lennon's estate in London, there were in one house, there were ghosts in the wall. And Prabhupada just went through Chandrakant Krishna and knocked on the wall. He got rid of the ghosts. So Prabhupada was a ghostbuster. Prabhupada also said, he gave another example, when he was in Calcutta, he was looking for a place for his chemical factory. And there was one building that you could buy for practically nothing because it was haunted. So Prabhupada bought it. And then he got rid of the ghosts. So that's very intelligent. If you ever want to buy a house, you make a rumor that there's a lot of ghosts there. Nobody else will buy it. The price will go down. And you can buy it for a very cheap price. And then Chan Hare Krishna get rid of the ghosts. So when one takes intoxication, it's like that. So the Yadu dynasty, the members of the Yadu dynasty killed each other, and they all died. And how Krishna left the planet, it was a whole illusory thing. There was a hunter who shot him. But this hunter is not an ordinary person. This hunter was previously the sage Bhrigu Muni. And Bhrigu Muni had committed an offense because he had kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest. We told a little bit of that story before. So he was testing to see whether Lord Vishnu was in the mode of goodness. This is also important for us to understand that if someone attacks us, we shouldn't attack back. This whole point of hating people or having enemies is actually demonic. A devotee is naturally forgiving, and a devotee is naturally loving. So Lord Vishnu, being transcendentally in the mode of good, you know, obviously transcendental, when he got kicked in the chest, he just apologized in this way to Bhrigu Muni. But Bhrigu Muni had to be subjected to his offenses, or the effects of the offenses, and as a result, he had to take birth as a hunter. His name was Jara, and he shot the Lord in the feet. And then Krishna appeared to leave this world because he was shot in the foot with an arrow. So that was an illusory pastime, also meant to bewilder atheists. Because Krishna wants to give facility to the atheists to be atheistic. Krishna fulfills the desire of everyone. So this is the disappearance pastime of the Lord. And actually, Krishna does not have a material body. As Krishna states in the Gita, Jopi Sanaryatman, Bhutanam, Ishurapisham, Bhaktim Swamadishtaya, Sambhavami Apamaya. That when I come to this world, I come in my original spiritual body. And of course, in the Brahma Samhita, it stated, Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidananda. Krishna has a body made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. But to bewilder people, he appeared to have a material body. Just to bewilder the atheists. And this is an illusory pastime known as the Moksha Lila, which the devotees really don't want to talk about that much. So that's what's being described in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The disappearance of the Lord and of the Yadudanasi. And also, after the Moksha Lila, Arjuna was instructed to take the wives of Krishna, the remains, and take them out of Dwarka and take them and protect them. But when he was taking them out of Dwarka to protect them, many of them got kidnapped. And that's interesting. How did the wives of Krishna get kidnapped? But they were kidnapped by expansions of Krishna. But some of the wives were not kidnapped. Some of the wives actually went to Dwarka and were to Indraprastha and were protected by Arjuna. And then later on, they were protected by Krishna's great-grandson, whose name was Vrajanath. Anyone's heard of him before? Vrajanath. So Vrajanath was Krishna's great-grandson, and Vrajanath brought Krishna's wives, who were remaining, to Vrindavan, because the wives of Krishna wanted to see Krishna's pastime places in Vrindavan. And when he went to Vrindavan with the wives of Krishna, he started a kirtan, and Krishna came and appeared, and Uddhava came out of the ground, and they were all dancing together. He was able to see Krishna and all the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan who had previously appeared with Krishna. And Vrajanath, the grandson of Krishna, established all the different holy places that we go to today in Braj. He established the deities, just like you have Madan Mohan deity. You've heard of Madan Mohan? No? Jarayan? You've never heard of Madan Mohan deity?
Yes, I think I have.
Sanatana Goswami's deity?
Oh, yes.
In Karoli, Rajasthan.
He's in Karoli right now, in Rajasthan. But originally he was in Vrindavan. Originally he was called Madan Gopal. There's an interesting story about that deity. That deity was left in the care of a brahmana in Mathura. The name of the family was the Chobe family. And this deity was being taken care of by that family, but they were on the highest platform of devotional service, so they didn't put the deity on the altar. The deity was accepted like their son. So they would put the deity to bed every night, just like you put your children to bed. Yeah, to bed at night, and they would feed, the deity would sit at the table, the deity would play marbles with the kids. That's pretty nice. And so when Sanatana Goswami saw that, he criticized them. And then he had a dream that night of the deity, and the deity said, "Why are you spoiling all my fun? I was enjoying it, but now you have to take me." And Sanatana Goswami said, "I can't take you, I just have too many things to do. I can't worship deities too." So, but the deity insisted, and Sanatana Goswami actually worshipped the deity. He was actually hanging from a tree in the beginning. And then Sanatana Goswami was offering the deity just dried bread balls, not even bread, and no salt, and no butter, or anything like that. And the deity complained, and Sanatana Goswami said, "If you want salt, you have to get it for yourself." So that was the intimate. Anyway, so getting back to the point, is that Vrajanath established all the temples in Vrindavan that we see today. Radha Govindaji, he didn't build the temples, but he established the deities there. And those temples were later on built, or at least supervised being built, by the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Later on, most of the deities were moved out of Vrindavan to places like Karoli or Rajasthan or Jaipur, when they were attacked. So those are the descendants of Krishna. Vrajanath, the great-grandson of Krishna, who established places in Braj. So anyway, so that's enough about the disappearance of Krishna. So any questions or comments? Another point was, when Krishna disappeared, the Pandavas decided to leave this world too. And they went to the north, and they left this world, and they went back to home, back to God. So any questions or comments? Yes?
Regarding Krishna's descent and his pastime, he arranged everything about his descent and also about his disappearance.
Yeah.
Da li ovaj učesnici tih ovaj zabava imaju malu slobodnu volju ili jednostavno su pod iluzijom cijelo vrijeme?
Do the participants in these pastimes have their free will, or are they under the influence of this arrangement the whole time?
Illusion.
Well, they're under yoga maya. But they use their free will to decide to put themselves under yoga maya. Because they want to please Krishna. You understand? So it's not that they've lost their free will because they're under yoga maya. Just like for example, there's a type of acting school called method acting. And the founder of Acharya of that is a man named Stanislavski or something like that. And in this school of method acting, and I studied it in the university, one actually voluntarily enters into another character other than himself. In other words, let's say that I was an actor and I was going to play Dracula. You've heard of Dracula before? Okay. So then I would have to spend like a half an hour preparing my mind to become Dracula. You know, also I'd have to put on a lot of makeup and costumes and everything like that. So, but I would voluntarily do that. I would voluntarily enter into the mood of Dracula, so for all intents and purposes, I would become Dracula. At least in the movie. I would still have my free will. Any time that I wanted, I could become my normal self. But I've decided to put myself into this illusion that I'm Dracula. So the Krishna's associates have decided they want to do, their whole life is pleasing Krishna. To do whatever Krishna wants. That is pure devotion. You know, Krishna, you can crush me by your embrace. Krishna, you can leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything. You remain my worshipful Lord, unconditional. Yeah. Ashlishabhapada. Anashtamama darshanam maravatam guru tivadi tatada. That's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Krishna, you can do everything. I just want to please you. Crush me. Kill me. Anything you want. Who's ready for that? Is anyone ready to say that to Krishna? Not too many people. Mama.
Oh, it's so fun.
I think we all have to be honest about our position in devotional service that we're really not ready to say that to Krishna. Krishna, do anything you want to me, and I'll accept it. I won't complain. I won't go to the ombudsman.
You know, ombudsman.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's pure devotional service. But right now we're not on that level. We're on the level of Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram. Patitam Mam Bhavam Bhade. Kripya Tabha Padapanka Ja. Stita Duli Sadhu Samba Chutya. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant. Please. And I'm suffering. Get me out of here. Get me out. Just like when I first joined the movement, I would pray to Krishna to kill me. So I could go back to Godhead. Every night before I went to sleep. It's good to turn those things off before class. Never important.
So it's before I went to sleep, I say, Krishna, kill me tonight. It's a miserable material world. I want to go back to Godhead. Fortunately, Krishna did not follow my instructions. I'm still here. So that's the platform we're at right now. Get me out of this miserable material world. Especially when you go to the dentist, you pray like that, right? Of course, when you go to the amusement park, you don't pray like that.
You forget about Krishna.
When you go to the beach, and you're swimming, you don't think, oh, it's horrible. You think, oh, what a nice material world. But when you go to the dentist, hey, Krishna, hey, Krishna, get me out. Therefore, Krishna has given us dentists to help us remember. So, anyway, so yes, they haven't given up their free will. They decided to put themselves like that because they wanted to please serve Krishna. So, any other questions? Yes.
Who is Gandhari originally?
What is Gandhari's? That's not, I don't find that anywhere in the Mahabharata. Maybe someone knows. I mean, she's a devotee. And also, sometimes it's described that Duryodhana was an aspect of Kali. And his service was to actually arrange for the fighting so that all these demoniac kings could be killed. In other words, he was rendering service to Krishna. And sometimes it's mentioned that Shakuni was an incarnation of Dwarpara. You know, that Duryodhana was an incarnation of Kali Yuga. Dwarpara Yuga, yeah. And then Shakuni was an incarnation of Dwarpara Yuga. So in other words, they were serving Krishna, you know, in one way, by arranging this fight to get rid of everybody. I mean, just like sometimes if one has cancer, you have to take chemotherapy, which is poison, to get rid of poison. Or like Prabhupada gives the example, it takes a thorn to get rid of a thorn. That's a typical Braj example, because if one goes walking barefoot in Braj, in Vrindavan, there's these maha thorns there. Anyone's ever gotten those thorns? They're this long. Even if you're wearing a shoe, it goes through your shoe. So the only way to get rid of it, you get another thorn to dig it out. So Prabhupada said it takes a thorn to get rid of a thorn. So
we have this problem in Bosnia.
Bosnia too.
Yeah.
Thorns.
Yeah.
No, it's nail. Metal nail.
Metal nail. Yeah.
You take metal nail and put another nail.
Yeah. You got to have another nail. Or sometimes. Sometimes you get something stuck in you. When I was a kid, sometimes I would get these little splinters stuck in me, you know, from wood, and then you have to take another sharp piece to dig it out. So Duryodhana would use that. So any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, Janaka might say that if you are touched or you long for sense gratification, that you cannot become learned.
That's right.
How can you explain that?
Sense gratification. The desire for sense gratification, gross sense gratification, is in the mode of ignorance. And so if one's in the mode of ignorance, then they're just interested in immediate gratification, and they become bewildered. I'm just trying to look at that verse. Anyway, I'm trying to remember the whole verse right now, which I can't remember. So, the verse slips out of my mind. But if one is interested in sense grabbing, nunam pramada kurute vikarma yad indriya pritya apranoti, that nunam pramada, one becomes crazy if one considers the satisfied pramada. It is a word in Sanskrit that indicates more crazy. Prakrishti rupena. So, Nuno Pramata, Kurute Vikarma. One is interesting. Yanindriya Pritya. One is considering the satisfaction of his senses to be important. Then he commits Vikarmic activities and he becomes crazy. And so one who's crazy, they can't become a learned person. If your mind is agitated, another point is, if you're looking for bhukti, mukti, siddhikam, sakale, shanta, your mind is disturbed. If your mind is disturbed, how can you become a learned person? So there's many verses that indicate that. So how do you give up the question is, how do you give up the desire for sense gratification? Then the methodology is to is bhakti. In other words, if you really love Krishna so much, just like I was hearing this morning about the love the parents have for the kids. Dear Prashanta was telling me how much love he had for Narayan on the way over here. It's a very interesting story. He said, once upon a time, Narayan got his adult tooth. You know, sometimes you have baby's teeth, and the baby teeth fall out, and the tooth fairy gives you some money. You have that here?
One mark per tooth.
Very cheap price.
But they give us other things.
I used to get $5 per tooth. So, so then the adult teeth came in, and what happened is that he had an accident, and one of the teeth was knocked. It became how many pieces? Like
many
pieces. Awesome. Split and. And dear Prashanta was explaining to me that he said he would rather, seeing that was so painful, he would rather die than see that, because he had so much love for his son. That's nice, isn't it? I mean, because that's natural. And Ama Prema was just like crying, had a heart attack. I mean, it was just like the end of their lives practically. So you see, where there's love, you become completely selfless. And you don't think about your own sense gratification anymore. So if you love someone so much like that, and some people love their country so much they're willing to die for their country, right? Isn't it? That's, you know, the nationalism. Or some people love their dog, they're willing to die for their dog. But if you have love for Krishna and for Prabhupada, then you're willing, not only willing, you don't even think about sense gratification because your consciousness is so high. The example I've given before, and I think I've mentioned this example before, when I was young, we had an airplane, a real airplane, and we would fly up in the airplane. It probably gives the example too, that everything on the ground becomes very small. So one of the problems I had on the ground was my mother.
And the problem became
small. Yeah, my mother used to chastise me and even spank me sometimes. So when we went up in the airplane, my mother, who was previously tall, she became smaller and smaller and smaller. It's how you can shrink your mother. Pretty good, isn't it? So that way I shrank my mother, so she was so small I couldn't see her anymore. And then I felt ecstatic.
Stay high forever.
Stay high forever. Of course, in the mature world, you had to come down, and when I came down, I was in trouble. So Prabhupada also said stay high. So when your conscience is so much absorbed in love, just like another example is when you're a young boy and young girl, they're in love with each other, they don't notice anything. They don't even think practically whether how they're going to support each other when they get married. It's just love. And sometimes they're talking on the phone, they run into the wall. They don't notice anything. So if you're so much in love with Krishna, you don't notice anything. You don't notice that the senses are telling you, eat, sleep. Because you're having so much fun. Another thing is, like if you're having a lot of fun in this world, you don't notice if it's your bedtime. Right? You don't know, you know, sometimes with the kids, they're having fun playing with their friends. You have to call them, it's time to eat. Oh, I'm not interested in eating. But if they're not having fun, they're very interested in eating. Just like this morning, you know, the children were woken up early, which is not fun for them, right? So immediately, the first thing they did is they started eating. You know, just immediately. I can't even imagine eating when I first get up in the morning. I think of chanting, but immediately the giant pieces of bread. So I'm showing how you can learn from things you observe in this world. So, but if you're having fun, you call them to eat. Nah, I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat.
I'm playing on the computer.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh, or they're playing video games on the computer. Like yesterday I wanted to speak to one of the children. I said, I'd like to speak to him. And the other child said, he is not available.
Is it available?
Make an appointment.
It was like I was in a business and I wanted to see the president. I said, oh, what's happening? Why is he not available? He's online playing video games. So that's the point. In one is, everything you do can be used against you.
Can and will
be used against you. So that's the point. If you're so much absorbed in Krishna, then, you know, it's not important. I mean, you take care of the body because it belongs to Krishna. But it's really not important, you know, I'm hungry. Well, I've got something much more fun to do. Bhagavatam. Much more fun. Reading Prabhupada's books. Harinam. Or whatever. Much more fun. So the Krishna consciousness is fun. It's so much fun. I've been doing it since 1971. And it gets more fun all the time.
You're sure, Maharaj?
Yeah. Every day it's more fun. Even when I see things that are Maya, I can learn things about Krishna. You see, just like in the Bhagavatam, you have that story about the Avadhuta Brahman, who was able to observe things. Even saw a prostitute, he learned something from the prostitute. You know that story? There's a prostitute who's looking for a customer all night long. She was thinking, you know, where's him? No one came. And then she gave up hope of enjoying. And then he learned from that. And then he saw two birds. A mother bird and a father bird, and they had little baby birds. And the baby birds fell into a trap. And the mother bird just jumped down, and she fell into the trap to try to save them. And the father bird fainted, and he fell into the trap. So he learned something from that. Actually, Prabhupada told the story one time a little different. He said the father bird took sannyas. Prabhupada told the story a little different.
I got your point.
It's actually funny. So, all right. So, any other quick question? It's time to eat. So, yeah.
Ima moli neki department gdje možemo dati roditeljima neku edukaciju kako stručno uključiti djecu u zvijek za križnju
kriju. Is there some kind of a department where we can include parents and teach them how they can engage children in Krishna consciousness through playing?
Some side of a department. I'm not running that department. But I'm sure that we have our Grahastha vision team and ministry. You can consult them about that. I mean, you can make Krishna consciousness be made fun for the children. I mean, when I'm with the children, I make it a lot of fun. And when I'm with the adults, I make it heavy. That's why I like children more than adults, because they're more fun. Adults are boring. Isn't it?
And you, the guest.
Anything you say can, will and can be used against you.
All right, on that happy note, we should end class. So we'll see everybody. Tonight we have a general meeting with the devotees. So everybody's invited. I guess like a discussion, questions and answers type of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, tonight it'll be questions you always wanted to ask, but you were afraid to ask. Okay, all glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Gaur.
Hey, Bhakti, samo jedna molba, odnosno informacija.